This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So now Posey ranges away, and Ballinger throws it so high!
There are some intangibles that those projections failed to take into consideration.
The crowd was going crazy. There's not much in life that's better than that.
You're listening to Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys with Mark Willard and Joe Shasky on the 95.7 The Game Podcast Network.
Okay, what's going on? Next episode of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys as the Giants come to the end of the week. And a good week of baseball, by the way, with a four-game sweep in Colorado. Kind of a weird game in Arizona with Alex Cobb. I don't know how many times we've said that this year. But as we roll through September, and it's with Joe Shasky, Mark Willard, we're glad you're with us. Joe, as we move through September, I think it's interesting to look at certain players and where they've sort of positioned themselves to be on or to not be on the roster for next year. And even if they are on the roster, kind of what's their role? I mentioned Alex Cobb already. Alex Cobb stands to be in this rotation this year. I think people have largely in the second half of the season got a better sense of who he is. But I also think he just completed the weirdest year in the history. Like, I mean, it's so easy to be like, oh, bad luck. This guy has had the weirdest luck. I think he had a really, really good year if you dive in. And so I don't know where Rodon sits. I don't know about Kyle Harrison. But we know that Logan Webb and Alex Cobb are going to be, you know, sort of on the front end of this rotation next year. And I'm not mad at that.
No, I mean, I'm looking at someone like Jacob Junis, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I don't want him to be my fifth starter. If he's my sixth, my swing man, my long relief guy who could spot start in case somebody goes down, because we know how long the season is, and there's just odd, quirky days where you're going to need that extra arm. I'm totally fine with that. Cobb specifically, this is why you watch the games. This guy has been so much better than the raw ERA and the raw amount of hits given up. I actually really like Alex Cobb. But he needs to be there five. Like, that's my hope going into next year. Maybe it's Harrison somewhere in that rotation. But if he's your five, you're looking really strong when you look at this rotation. I just worry, not necessarily about the pitching. I worry about guys like Yastrzemski, like VR. You know, Lamont Wade had a nice little hiccup for a couple of days, and now he's kind of sunk back down. We fall into this trap at the end of the year where somebody starts to produce and we go, you know, are they the guy that produced toward the end of the year, or are they the guy over the regular season just had some bad luck? And I'm saying to myself, just don't fall victim to that. Don't take a small sample size and say the bigger sample size was where he just kind of had a stub of the toe.
I'm with you. It's on us to sort of ride the line between what we would like to see happen and what we know is going to happen. Like, Mike Yastrzemski is going to be on this team next year.
Yes.
He just is. Still has a positive WAR. I know that they think very highly of him. Obviously, he's cheap. I just don't want them to promise or even pencil him in as the everyday right fielder. If they're talking about everyday players, then they need to be thinking in terms of everyday players. And Yaz has sort of been given that the last couple of years. And I get why his numbers against lefties might be as good as they are against righties. But right now, for the bulk of this year, they weren't really good against anybody. So a good September is nice. And it sets up his spring training to compete next year. I'm sure Wade will compete. I'm sure VR is probably going to get the opportunity to be on this team. But there are so many decisions to be made. Like, even go back to the rotation we were just talking about. I love what you said. You know, can Junis maybe be like, can we bolster the bullpen by some of these guys who started ending up actually in the bullpen? I don't know. Is DeSclafani going to end up in the bullpen? Don't forget, DeSclafani and Wood are slated to be a part of this rotation as well, which makes it feel rather full really quick without having that top of the rotation guy. Unless you want to say that that's Logan Webb. If they lose Rodon, they don't really necessarily have that. So There are just so many decisions to be made. Is Longo coming back? And I want them to keep as much flexibility as possible for everyday spots, because if those guys are ready to say yes in free agency, they've got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the number one need is right-handed power hitting outfield, period. Like, that starts there. You have all these redundant lefties out in the outfield, and they're like a bunch of half good ball players. You know, Yastrzemski's a great defensive player. The bat leaves so much to be desired this year. Luis Gonzalez, much better contact hitter, but then all the fundamental stuff, he's like out to lunch, you know. And then Lamont Wade Jr., not the strongest defender, but he gives me some positional versatility. He's just not hitting the way he did last year. And there's just too many lefty redundant outfielders. Slater has to have a spot on this team. But to me, in an ideal world, it's Slater and Yaz in center. And you get one of those corner outfielder guys who can man right field, Aaron Judge. Yeah. And then maybe you bring back Jock Peterson. I don't know if that's going to materialize. But then maybe that makes Luis Gonzalez or one of these other guys kind of go away, because you got the left-handed power bat in Jock. And then I don't know what they're going to do at third base. I mean, your guess is as good as mine, because Crawford's playing better defense now at short. But I don't want to fall into the trap of realizing that's where all the best free agents are. It's shortstop. And as good as it's been this week defensively, I mean, he made an incredible play off of VR's glove the other day. I'm saying to myself, Correa, Turner, Swanson, like, that's where the market is telling you to go get a player. So I'm very conflicted.
Yeah, well, there's so much going on the left side of the infield, because we're thinking only in terms of Crawford, VR, Longo, and free agents. There's also Casey Schmidt and Marco Luciano. If you're thinking about the organization beyond this year, this next year, I mean, and Schmidt, by the way, may absolutely factor in next year.
Yes.
Luciano the year after that. So if you're thinking about, well, we're going to, you know, give me a shortstop for the next 7 years, be careful. I'm not saying you put all your eggs into any minor leaguer's basket, but you also don't want to block out two of your top prospects who, by the way, if anybody had a good years in the minors, Casey Schmidt, Marco Luciano, when healthy, were two of those guys. So there's so much going on over there in terms of a logjam that they've got to figure out. I'm still very intrigued by the idea. If he's open to it, I'm very intrigued with the elimination of the shift by the idea of a Thairo Estrada, Brandon Crawford, second base platoon. I am intrigued by that.
Me
for
too.
Sure. There are also shortstop free agents who have some positional flexibility on their own, like Trey Turner. You know, he can go play second base some. But, you know, Thairo is one of those guys that has made it very clear this year he needs to be on this team next year. And he needs to – I don't know if you want to call him an everyday player. That's a guy that should be in your lineup more often than not. I'll put it that way.
And I think his positional versatility gives you options, right? Like, that gives you some options. The other two guys that we're omitting that we haven't brought up, J.D. Davis has a spot somewhere. I don't know where. I don't think he's an everyday player. But can he be a Darren Ruff type where he just mashes and he's a DH, play a little first base? Like, ideally to me, Jock and J.D. Davis – or a perfect platoon together. Like, that's the way I look at that. Somehow, some way, one of the two of them is in your DH role every single day if you don't, you know, splurge on a star. Lost in all this, like, craziness of this year, like, we're all depressed and we're sad. There's two major developments for me. Obviously, Logan Webb and Rodon have been outstanding for the most part if you look at their body of work. You look at the beginning of the year and I said, man, what's Joey Bart going to do? And most fans after about a month or 2 months were saying he's a lost cause.
Yep.
You know, you look up and the numbers look pretty good, you know, not great, but pretty good. I think they've salvaged him. And even though I expect more from him, I like what I've seen thus far. And I think there's something to build on for next year. The other guy I cannot forget about, Camilo Duvall, had a rough patch earlier this year. He is righted the ship. He is closer to 30 saves than, and I didn't think this was even possible. He's at 26 right now. A great week of baseball. He was dominant pretty much all week. And I have not felt better about Duvall than I have right now. And it's because he's not heavily relying on the slider. He's throwing the cutter and the sinker. I just like where he's at the maturation process of actually pitching.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, Joey Bart, to your point there, that's a major league catcher. I don't know if this is a star. Everybody wants a star. But, like, Yes, that is a major league catcher. He looks like everything has finally slowed down. He does not look like he's guessing at the plate anymore. He's always looked good behind the plate. I think everyone can feel very, very good about that. And Duvall, the only thing to watch for him next year is, can he go with that pitch clock? Because my man needs a heart rate, okay? My man is just, right? They're coming back from commercial.
It's so true.
Duvall's in for the save. We're back from commercial. It's like, I haven't started my warm-ups yet. Like, I mean, he's just so chilling, you know?
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting for him. I'll give you my positive development, and it's in the other direction. Because every single Giant fan who's been frustrated in recent years, I hear the same thing all the time. I know you do too, Joe, and it's that Farhan is a penny pincher, and this team is more interested in saving money than winning. I want you to notice, watch what has happened and what will happen with Tommy La Stella. Tommy is under contract next year. He's not going to be on this team.
I'm with you.
He is not going to be on this team, and that is snapshot one, that this team will do the right thing rather than save a buck, because they're going to have to eat that thing. I don't think anybody's taking Tommy's contract. Someone might take the minimum and take that portion of it off of their hands. But you've seen what they've done with this month, and that is move off of him in favor of watching other younger players play. And I just think that that's a good sign. That's the kind of financial bicep, if you will, they have, and we've been waiting for them to use, and I think they will. I think they will, and hopefully that's a sign of things to come with how they handle free agency.
That's a really good point. You know, the old Giants, hey, Russ Ortiz, you stink. Take a hike. We'll buy you out. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they would do to guys. You're 100% spot on with that. The other thing I'm noticing the last couple of weeks, they're trying some different arms out in the bullpen. And boy, we know that they needed to retinker this bullpen. It's not one move away. But to see a guy like Sam Young slowly develop a little here, I'm saying, all right, I think there's something there. I maybe wanted to see Alexander maybe a few weeks earlier. I think they could have used him a few weeks earlier. But I do think they're going to go with some of these younger guys now that Double A is kind of finished up. Maybe you see a couple of call-ups here at the end. They absolutely, because I know we're talking so much about everyday players, there's got to be a very big retooling of this bullpen. And I don't know if you can go through free agency. It's about identifying the young arms that nobody sees right now. And we're not going to know until camp comes next year. But I'm seeing at least them go through some arms, and it's not just the same old, same old.
Two names we're going to get to in just a second, Barry Bonds and Aaron Judge. Okay, that's coming up in just a second. But before we do that, I just want to ask you another real quick question with regard to September. Mm. The team now sits at 75 and 78. How much do you care that they get to 81 and don't finish with a losing record? Does this matter to you at all?
Not really. I mean, for Gabe Kapler's sake, I hope he does, because I think that he has tried to win every single game. Like, but he's been dealt a really bad hand, and it sucks because he's going to have to wear the overall record. There is something to be said for not having an under 500 season. Like, I do get that. But the other side of it is, and it's not the NFL. I'd like a better draft pick. You know what I mean? I hate to be that guy, but I'd like a better draft pick. I mean, is that foolish of me?
No, not at all. And I know it's one of those things that's really just in the moment. It's in the moment. It's not going to last. In other words, by the time we get back to next year, most people won't even know what the record was. They won't even know if they finished with 80 or 81 or 82.
Exactly.
But in this moment, it is something I'm racing for. I hope. I hope they have a strong finish and get north of 80 wins, because it just does have – It has a better look, if you ask me. Right now, they're on track to finish as, along with all of the playoff teams, the only other team in the National League that's going to have a positive run differential. Like, stuff like that, it just, I don't know. It's not huge, but I think it matters. It speaks to them actually being a viable team and maybe not being quite as far away as it feels like they are now. I definitely believe that.
One last point on that. One thing I've noticed is that their prospects have been getting fast-tracked. You referenced Casey Schmidt earlier. He was a guy that great glove, but we didn't know about the bat. The bat has been on fire. He got elevated late to the Double-A team, and it looks like he's going to be fast-tracked. A lot of their guys that we thought were 2024 call-ups have actually been reslotted to 2023 call-ups. So you got to kind of recalibrate here, because I think the last month and a half, They've actually had some positive traction at the lower minor league level. I'm actually feeling a lot better about their minor league system.
Yeah, Schmidt up to Sacramento. So he crushed double A. And so now he's going to get a quick shot with the Rivercrats before everybody heads home for the offseason. And he absolutely could factor into the Major League club's plans next year. So that's exciting. And just add that into that left side of the infield intrigue and logjam that is going to be so fascinating. So with Joe Shasky, Mark Willard, it's Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, the Giants podcast by Giants fans for Giants fans. We come at you twice a week. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Barry Bonds came out this week and did what Farhan Zaidi and the team are not allowed to do, which is name Aaron Judge. And part of it was the whole question, which Aaron and Barry and everybody has answered correctly. Forget this idea that when Aaron Judge gets to 62, somehow he holds the single season record because all the steroid guys are the only ones who have passed it so far. There's just no way to do it. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. And Aaron has said that, and Barry said that, but it also led to a conversation about Aaron to San Francisco. And Barry said what's very simple, which is, yeah, that'd be great. I would love it. But there's been some intricate information that's come out. I think we all agree it's unlikely. I don't quite understand why Aaron would leave New York, but maybe he is mad at the Yankee organization for the last year. And if he is, there's two things. You heard a little bit about what the numbers might look like.
Yeah.
I heard that the Yankees view the Giants as the number one threat. It's hard not to remember every time he's on MLB Network, that Posey jersey is right behind his head. And it's just like, I mean, have you ever in free agency heard more about who a kid rooted for when he was growing up? Rich Aurelia was his favorite player. And I mean, it's crazy. I don't know. I wouldn't think this matters, but maybe it does.
No, well, so Tom Verducci, you're referencing what I've been listening to. Tom Verducci did a long-form piece for MLB.com. He used to be a New York Yankee beat writer way back in the day. He's obviously really tapped in with the Yankees, and he got to know Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge doesn't have a big personality. He was sitting down with him, and everybody that he's talked to, I'll give you the numbers first. He hears the framework looking something like 7 years, $40 million a year. That's what he thinks the Yankees are going to offer, and that's their threshold because they still got to pay other people, and they already have guys still on the books moving forward because they paid Gerrit Cole and obviously had the big Stanton deal. So they've got their own financial situation, that being there. The other thing he said is that the reason why Aaron Judge was getting hurt as often as he did early on in his career is that he would have an at-bat, pop up, go back into the dugout, and then go hit the tee and hit the batting tee in between innings, and he was overworking himself. And then veteran players were like, dude, you are going to hurt yourself. Boom, there you go. He hurts the oblique. He strains a muscle, hurts his hamstring, and he has now taken on what they call the Steph Curry, Mark. Recovery. He's all about recovery. Yes, he's working out. Yes, he's still putting in the time and the energy and the effort, but he realizes moving forward, he has to master the recovery portion of it. This makes me want to spend even more money on him because I think we can all agree the modern athlete is lasting now longer than ever, right? I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
They're better now than they've ever been in terms of aging gracefully.
I mean, we're sitting here doing this about 10 minutes after I just watched Tom Brady play football. He's 45 years old. Now, granted, he lost to the Packers, but he engineered exactly. A game-time drive. They just couldn't get the two-point conversion. And every single Sunday when I watch him play, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. This guy's 2 years younger than me. He's 5 years older than you. And I can't figure it out. It does not make
insane.
Any sense.
It's
so,
insane.
But when you hear those numbers, I mean – I think part of it is that we've been conditioned because we've been listening to Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis, who are in their early 20s. So our mind is going, oh my gosh, these guys, $300 million, $400 million, $500 million. You're right. Aaron's not going to get that. And no. So maybe that isn't like, oh, you know, the Giants are just like, yeah, who cares? Piece of cake, toss it around. But when you say that this deal might be less than $300 million, quite frankly, it feels like a complete bargain for the position that the Giants are in. If you're telling me that they could do this deal and all it does is get into his 37th birthday and you'd have to spend no more than $300 million, I mean, I would do that. I'd like, hey, like straight up, I would do that.
3-4 years ago, I would have said, you're crazy, Mark, because you don't have the DH. Now that you have the DH, like, it also is another feather in your cap if you're a National League team. I think it makes you more aggressive in free agency. If you notice, for years, all the 10-year deals were going to the AL. None were coming to the NL. The yeah. other thing that I want to highlight here that I cannot stress enough, the Giants love selling accolades. You know what I mean? When Barry Bonds was at the end of his career, come see him hit 400. Come see him hit 500. Come see him hit 600, 700. That's what the Yankees thought they were getting when they acquired Alex Rodriguez. You bring in Aaron Judge. He hits his 300th home run with you. He hits his 400th home run with you. If he gets to 500, that is a select few. You're seeing it now with Albert Pujols, aging gracefully at the very end of his career, though he had a really tough run there at the end. But, like, to me, that means something. You see those fans cheering in St. Louis. You bring the hometown kid home the same way you did with Bonds. Imagine what the fervor's like in the stands rooting for our guy who chose to come to the Giants to help save this team. It would be a great story.
This is so much bigger than what I'm about to bring up. But just for context, remember what it felt like when Jock Peterson became a Giant. We've known this guy for years as a hated Dodger. And the second he arrived, it was like, oh my gosh, he should have been a Giant all along. He's from Palo Alto. He walked in, put the uniform on, started hitting balls into the bay. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, this guy's one of us. I really believe the exact same thing would happen with Aaron Judge. He's never played one game in the National League, but he would be accepted as homegrown, a true San Francisco Giant through and through the second he arrived. The one thing I fear with Aaron, though, is, well, we're in a situation right now where the pitchers are getting specialized balls to pitch to Aaron Judge, which means what we're watching is truly a season for the ages. Buster Olney last week said, you could make the case that this beats out 0-1 Bonds. Like, I mean, this beats out, this is the best season any hitter has ever had ever. His thinking there, because of analytics, because of 100-mile-an-hour fastballs, these guys know so much about your weaknesses that they didn't know 20 years ago. And he's putting up similar numbers in terms of OPS. It's been north of 1,500 in September. It's been ridiculous. So if Aaron Judge comes to the Giants next year and hits 38 home runs, are we disappointed?
Do you know the most that a Giant has hit since Barry Bonds left? It was your boy Brandon Belt, 29. I mean, a guy hitting 30 home runs, we will throw a ticker taper parade up and down Embarcadero and Market Street. I mean, seriously, Mark, like, that's how low it is. I can't remember the last time a guy hit 30 home runs and batted 300, like, for the Giants. Like, I just – it would blow my mind. I hear you. He's having a monster year, and they call it a career year for a reason. I understand all of those things. They don't have anybody who hits 25 and jacks 260, you know, batting average right now. Even if he went down to 260 and hit 30-plus home runs, that's exactly what this team needs. Yeah. Like, they've been dying for this guy. What does he do for a Jock Peterson, a J.D. Davis in a lineup? What does he do with a guy like Tyro Estrada running around on the bases in front of him? Like, to me, there's a trickle-down effect of bringing in someone like him. And then from a merchandise standpoint, much All Rise stuff, the Judge hair, the over-the-top, you know. I mean, God, I don't know. I'm imagining Larry Bear selling me all the Judge merchandise. Like, it's all I keep thinking about.
Oh, yeah. No. I want free gavels on the very first night. Everybody – I'm sure somebody would end up getting hurt. But anyway, if we could do that, free gavels for everybody on the way in, All Rise. Look, it would be amazing. I just want to throw that thought out there that, like,
it's a good point.
Like, he's not going to hit 60 home runs every year. And also, by the way, he's, you know, he's never faced the Dodger pitching staff. Like, he's never faced, like, he would have to go through that switching leagues thing. I know it's the balanced schedule is coming next year, so he'd be facing a lot of his old American League pitchers again. But I would love to see the Giants do it. And then I would love to be, you know, part of the voice of letting people know that 2/3 of what he did this year would be great
if
he could come here and do that next year.
We would. I'm telling you, if he came to the Giants, I think that the Heroes ticker tape parade would be through the roof. I mean, even Barry Zito. Barry Zito struggled for years, yep. Not 1 year, years. And Giants fans are like, this is the one. This is the start. He's going to turn it around. We're going to do this. I mean, it took a long time for him to finally get booed. Like, I don't think people remember that in real time. He struggled with the Giants. Yeah. So, last thing on this point on Aaron Judge. I want him to come because it feels like however the Yankees bow out in the playoffs, I feel like it could get ugly. And I feel like he's going to hit that eject button and parachute out just to change the scenery. I feel like there's so much negativity. He's carrying that team right now.
I can't wait to find out what makes him tick. Cause that's really what we're all guessing. We're all guessing what makes him tick. Is it New York? Is it the West Coast? Is it that Buster jersey behind his head? You know, does he like the spotlight? Does he not? Does he just want change? I can't wait to find out. And that's what we're going to find out because we're all guessing at that as of right now. All right, great stuff. We're heading into a fascinating offseason, but we will take you every step of the way during the final couple of weeks of the regular season, two episodes a week. For Joe Shasky, I'm Mark Willard on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys.